it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
The most classic Thanksgiving line. Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. Saturday suckage. And it is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving will be coming up. The Bears at the Lions. We will not be on next Saturday for Saturday suckage, but we will be on Black Friday. Together from 9 till noon, we will be Bernstein and Rahimi. He gets to be Rahimi. I have to be the pedantic little pile that is Dan Bernstein.
Man.
But the day before, after the Bears game, Mark Rohde, tell people what you will be doing.
On what day?
On Thursday.
Oh, Thursday. Sorry. I was just putting in the pedantic there. No, I will be doing, after that Bears-Lions game on Thanksgiving Day, I'll be doing the Bears post-game show right here at 670 The Score. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to do that for a little while, and then I will be going to my Thanksgiving dinner in the city of Chicago. So yeah, I will be on Thursday and Friday with you when we will be hopefully making our usual brand of nonsense radio here on The Score.
And now a man who is with all of us always, wherever your car is, he's there. We go to The Score's hotline. Presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. We go out to Wrigley Field. NU versus Purdue. They're playing football, but we care more about having Les Grobstein join us this Thanksgiving week. Les, thanks for coming on. How you doing today?
Doing good. It's kind of cool to be out here. And this year, the two teams do not have to go in the same direction like they did 11 years ago when the Illini came in here and ran the Wildcats off the field. And Purdue, they're winning here 19-7. They just scored a touchdown, second O'Connell to Milton Wright TD of the game. The Wildcats' only score came on the last play of the second quarter, but it's been all Purdue. Northwestern just does not have a good offense, and Fitz is a great coach. He's going to have a good team again in the future like he had last year, but this year is not one of those.
Yeah, it fits right in with the show here. They suck this year for sure at 3-7. Grobber, how do you like watching football out of Wrigley Field?
Well, first time I saw a game here at Wrigley Field, football game, was 1961. My grandfather brought me here to see the Bears and the Lions. The Lions won that game 16-15. Roger LeClaire kicked five field goals. Those are the only points the Bears scored. And how did the Lions get 16? On a safety. They won 16-15 on a safety. I didn't even know what the safety was at that age. And after that game, I sure did. But that was the first time I ever saw a football game here. And it was kind of cool. They used to have the stands on the east side of the field, those temporaries. And the only time they ever played a game here without the temporaries was 1968, the season opener with Washington. And Sonny Jurgensen pulled them apart 38-28. But most other times that they've played here, the other times they had those temporary seats, and the Bears always had to play their first three or four games on the road as a result.
Anybody ever run into the walls?
Oh, yeah. But, people would score a touchdown. You got to remember, in those days, the goalposts were on the goal line, not on the goal, on the back line like they are now. Like, they've always been in a high school and college bowl. But, people would clang into it, but it wasn't all that bad. It was not that big of a deal.
What's worse, the Northwestern football team that is playing at Wrigley Field right now or the Cubs team that played at Wrigley Field last year?
Which offense is worse?
Yeah.
Well, that Cubs team could at least score runs in some games and hit home runs.
Yeah.
I mean, Schwindel and people
Wisdom.
Like that would hit home runs. Wisdom as well. This team here cannot score. Northwestern does not have a good offense, and they don't have a good quarterback, and that's the thing. We're going to have to see some people brought in, whether they're transferred, kind of like what was done with Michigan State. Michigan State, we had a billion transfers. That's why they have a good team. although they're getting their asses kicked by Ohio State.
Look
today.
At that, huh? My God, you know, and you know who the head coach of Michigan State is? A lot of people don't remember Mel Tucker, Les, who used to be the Bears' defensive coordinator, and things weren't particularly good on his watch, were they?
Yeah, but he was a defensive coordinator today. They're Sparty and company. So I knew the Northwestern was going to have a tough time when they opened the season with Sparty in Evanston. And in that game, you can just look at how many transfer students MSU had. They had like about 22 or 23 of them. Northwestern has a few, but not that many. And they lost a lot of really, really good players from a year ago when they, for the second time in 3 years, won the Western Division Championship of the Big Ten. But each time they ran into Ohio State in the title game in Indy, they got their butts handed to them.
You're a little bit of a Michigan State fan. I didn't realize that with throwing out the Sparty
Stop. I'm not a Michigan State fan at all. I kind of like them in the past, but with what Mel Tucker has done bringing all those transfers, and I'm not a Michigan State fan at all, I was hoping Michigan would beat them a few weeks ago.
Okay, just the way you were throwing around Sparty, like that, like the cutesy little nickname. I thought maybe that was your thing, like Sparty.
That's what everybody calls them.
Okay. No, I just thought that was playful, but okay.
People that are not from Michigan State, they refer to them as the Greenies.
The Greenies? Wait a minute.
Greenies.
I thought
the color of the uniforms.
I thought the Greenies were those little pills that baseball players used to pop.
Yes.
That too.
Earlier in the show, I can't remember what the context was, but Mark brought up the name Charles Martin.
That happened at
Soldier Field, as we all know, and Jim McMahon was slam dunked into the AstroTurf in 1986, and it was ridiculous. And even some Packer fans realized that was a scummy, filthy play by Martin.
And, Mark, I think I heard earlier in the year, I don't know if you actually have had discussed this with Les, but was it Anthony Davis, the local basketball legend, the Chicago guy?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Who, tell Les what you discovered. I thought it was an interesting perspective.
Yeah, Grobber, maybe you know this, and maybe you've talked about it. I don't know. But Anthony Davis, the all-world hoopster for the L.A. Lakers, NBA champion, and Chicagoan, is a Packers fan. How does that happen?
Because he's stupid. He's an idiot. He's not a real true Chicagoan. And by the way, I hope he and LeBron enjoyed the game that they played last night against the Celtics. They got their lunch handed to them.
Down. Lakers going down. Right, Les?
Down. Lakers going down.
There is a tremendous.
Voice. You know who else's voice? Lawrence Holmes' voice is Lawrence Holmes, who happens to be a Laker fan, but he did it because he's a team player and he just wanted to contribute.
Wait, Lawrence is a Lakers fan?
As far as I know, he is.
Oh my God, you guys must have went at it then.
We did.
Yeah. Wow. So that's just you and Lawrence on the down thing.
Oh, totally.
Oh, okay. I thought there was a third for some reason.
He was a guy that liked Shaq and Kobe, as far as my memory.
Oh, my God. That insults your sensibilities, doesn't it? Because you were not a fan of either. Were you or are you?
No, I mean, both nice guys to talk to, both very friendly, very pleasant. But I didn't like that team, and I still don't like that team.
Okay.
So speaking of the Lakers and what happened last night, this was an actual thing that former Lakers guard Dennis Schroeder had 21 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and was a plus 12 in a win, while Russell Westbrook had 12 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, and was minus 12 in a loss on the Lakers. And the Boston NBC Sports Boston ran a chyron that said, had the Celtics logo, and number 71, and above that was a G, and then Dennis Schroeder's name. And the chyron readout said, "Y'all paying Russ $44 million, LOL." Put that on.
Laughing out loud indeed.
Yeah.
Hey, Grobber, we got Thanksgiving coming up, man, and I don't know if we'll talk to you before then, but we like to do the cheesy thankfulness thing. Is there anything in particular that you are thankful for this year in sports or in your life, or maybe us?
Well, we're not going to do Answer That You Suck this week because on Thanksgiving Day or around Thanksgiving, we'll always do the Jive Turkey thing in place of it. Somebody that fans think is a Jive Turkey.
Oh, I love it.
And if you watch the movie Trading Places, that's in there. By the way, the Wildcats are threatening. They're down to the one-yard line of per-don't right now. But, the spoiler makers are leading 19-7, but the Wildcats are in deep trouble here. I have Purdue in a little trouble defensively. But anyway, Kathy and I were going to have dinner at Cooper's Hawk up in Arlington Heights.
Oh, nice.
And that'll be after the Bear game will be over. And I will be on, of course, on Thursday night to talk about that Bears-Lions game. I will not be on the night before because just going to take Thanksgiving Day off the day before that.
Good for you.
And you answered a texter's question, 206. Hi, Les. You doing Jive Turkey on the show this week, right? So you made
yes,
it.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
By the way, the Wildcats just scored a touchdown. They're second of the game.
Perdon't indeed. It's happening.
Indeed.
It's all going down.
Yeah, and you got one, and now they're within six, and they have a PAT attempt coming up with Kubander. It's 19-13 Broilers.
What the hell is going on? What's going on in that press box? That sounds to me like the windows are closed, because we're just hearing the PA guy blasting through there, and no crowd noise. What the hell is going on?
Because it's cold. It's colder than hell in here, even with the windows closed.
Oh, come on, turn on the heater.
Trust me, it's freezing.
Okay. Isn't there a heater in there now?
Is good.
I thought they upgraded things.
No, they've done a lot of work. This place has really been changed a lot over the last 4 or 5 years. However, it's cold.
Okay.
So, Les, of all the great, dramatic, memorable Thanksgiving Day performances, which one is your favorite?
Oh, 1980. It has to be the 1980 game. They were losing by 7. They got a touchdown on the last play of regulation, won the coin toss, and Davey Williams returned the kickoff, went coast-to-coast, scored a touchdown, and the 80,000 fans in the Pontiac Silverdome, of which maybe 75,000, which were Lions fans, and there was a blizzard going on outside the Silverdome. They creeped up the stairs, went outside, and went home to their Thanksgiving dinners after seeing their Lions beat by a mediocre Bears team that day when Davey Williams went coast to coast.
Yes. A very young Mark Grody remembers that because it was just like, because the Bears did, I mean, you know this, Les, the Bears did not win a whole lot of games in those late 70s, early 80s, up until 1984. So when the Bears won and they would do it that dramatically, it was a victory and a half.
They did have Walter Payton and they had some other good players on that particular team. But they won this one, and they stunned 80,000 drunk fans in Detroit. In
Les, did you ever have, on Thanksgiving, did you ever have a turducken?
What is a turducken?
No, Les, really, a turducken. It's a turkey, duck, and chicken, one cooked inside the other.
Oh.
Every Thanksgiving, Les, John Madden would be on your TV talking about a turducken. He would be breaking it down. Boom, turkey. Boom, duck. Boom, chicken.
When the Bears played, whether it was in Pontiac or whether it was in Detroit later years or even a few times they played in Irving against the Dallas Cowboys, I've been out of town for a lot of these games on Thanksgiving Day, so I wasn't listening to Mr. Madden. By the way, I've appeared on his radio show, his syndicated radio show. Very, very nice man.
Wait a minute, John Madden's got a radio show?
He used to. I don't think he does anymore, but he had one.
Oh, that's awesome, man. So he just wanted to talk Bears with you, or was he going like the full circle of Chicago sports?
Well, like I said, he's a really good guy, no doubt about it. By the way, I think this is worth talking about. In the press room here, they've done a lot of work in it, and they have pictures of people that were in the Writers Hall of Fame and in the Broadcasters Hall of Fame. And they've always had Harry Carey's picture up there. For years, they didn't have Milo's. Milo's picture is finally up there because for a long time, the owners, in deference to Milo Hamilton basically Harry Carey, they hated each other, as people know. They despised each other. Mm-hmm. But they got a picture of Milo up there now.
Oh, that's cool, man. Holy Toledo, right?
There you go.
Holy Toledo, indeed.
I think the Les Grobstein photo needs to go up there, man. That's the first thing I'd work on.
That'll have as much chance of happening as when pigs fly.
All righty, then. Well, Les,
asked me if I was going to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game here. I said, nah. I said, my son has sung Take Me Out. He sung the national anthem here for Cub games 5 times. But they will. The time you see me given the opportunity to do it again, it won't happen.
Oh, I totally think you should get the opportunity to do it. That's an outrage, man. You're like one of the longest tenured reporters, and you've covered like thousands of Cubs games. I definitely think you deserve to be singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. That's ridiculous.
Well, it happens. And you know what? I've been at a lot of games here. I've been in more games here than most people that have owned the team.
By the way, what's your Bears pick for tomorrow?
I am picking them to actually win the game,
there
which I
go.
Think might be a mistake. I think that might be a mistake because I think now that you have Khalil Mack and you have Trevathan and a couple others dinged up, this team is going to be really hurting, and they're going to can the Ravens. The Ravens have rarely lost 2 games in a row. I might regret picking the Bears on this. I hope I don't, but right now I kind of regret it.
Hey, Les, do you know who Art LaFleur is? I'll give you this. He's not a hockey player, despite the
I know who
game.
Matt LaFleur is. He's the coach of the team that wears those mustard and red uniforms,
yeah.
The color of vomit green and, you know, urine yellow uniforms.
Well, let's go with Matt LaFleur then, since you know him.
Yeah. Well, Art LaFleur died.
I know who Guy LaFleur is. Guy LaFleur with the Montreal Canadiens. Great player.
A guy in L.A.
And you know,
man in L.A.
You know who Guy LaFleur was.
Guy LaFleur.
More like yeah. LaFleur.
The flower.
Yeah.
The flower, yeah. So anyways, he was an
in
actor.
French, that's
LaFleur
what it means.
An actor. And he was in a movie Mark and I fight about. First of all, one of the movies he was in was Field of Dreams. He played Chick Gandel in Field of Dreams. But the movie
really?
We fight about, yeah, he played Babe Ruth in The Sandlot. He was the one who uttered that line. Remember, kid, there's heroes and there's legends. Heroes get remembered, but legends never die. Follow your heart, kid. You'll never go wrong. Mark says the movie is just about a dog and a ball. And
that's
I
right.
think the movie is everything about youth and baseball. Where do you come down on The Sandlot?
Sandlot was a lot of fun to watch. It's a good movie. I enjoyed watching it. It's not my favorite baseball movie, but it's right up there. It's a good one.
And your favorite baseball movie is?
It's got to be, I got to say, Major League. The
Shut
original
up,
one with Euchre.
Yeah, it's great. It's classic.
By the way, last night, speaking of movies, Kathy and I, we went to the new Ghostbusters movie, and we kind of enjoyed it. We had fun with it.
Okay, so that to me is not a great review, though. Like, bad movie, fun movie.
You think?
It was good. It was not awesome. And Kathy had never seen the first two Ghostbusters movies, but she caught on quickly.
Any trips planned, Les? Any Hawaii or Disney or anything like that in the cold weather here? What's going on? Or are you guys taking it easy?
Probably not till after the first of the year. I think we're going to work on something soon, but it's going to not be in November or December. I could promise you that.
Okay.
All right. Well, Les, you have a good Thanksgiving. You and Kathy have a good Thanksgiving, and we'll look forward to Jive Turkey. As Texter wanted to know, and you confirmed. So you guys have a good
holiday.
We'll
have fun with the Jive Turkey. Like, it ain't cool being no Jive Turkey so close to Thanksgiving.
Nice.
Right. There you go. I'll remember that. I'm going to have that laminated for my wallet. Thanks, Les.
Well, see you guys later. Happy holiday.
See you later, Les.
Les Grobstein. There you go. Well, we discussed Madden, and we discussed movies, and we have both of those I need to share with you, Mark. We'll find out what Trash Panda knows about Madden.
Great.
And a movie anniversary that is spectacular. Kind of snuck up on me, but it makes perfect sense now. So we'll do that after this on Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We win one today. That's two in a row.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I love you guys on Saturday morning, by the way. I mean, you're an outstanding individual.
What was that?
Yeah, what was that?
Brody, that was a call you had like 3 months ago.
Oh, he called me an outstanding individual?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that was nice. I'd like to hear that again.
I love you guys on Saturday morning, by the way. I mean, you're an outstanding individual.
Oh, man, that's so nice.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I'll accept that.
Sure. He's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's an outstanding individual, and I'm the runner-up to Paul Rudd in People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive contest.
Duh.
So, Trash Panda, what do you know about the Madden in Madden 2021?
I know I played a lot. And I know I'm 2.5 years into a Bears franchise and haven't lost a game.
And, well, that's because you put on your Justin Fields pull-ups and you become a quarterback. What do you know about the Madden and Madden 2021?
What do you mean?
Where does the name come from? Where does the name come from?
Oh, the name Madden from
yes.
John Madden Football?
Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Who is John Madden?
Former coach of the Raiders, former color commentator, Monday Night Football. Come on, man.
I didn't know.
There's a gap there. There's a group. I firmly believe there's a group of people who play video games, play Madden, whatever it is, Madden the year. And don't know that he has the second greatest winning percentage of coaches in the NFL. NFL history.
I've been playing Madden, the game, since I think Madden 2003. And not only that, I like to consider myself pretty well versed in the history of the NFL.
I didn't know. That's why I was asking. I'm quite impressed. Sometimes you ask this. I thought this was going to turn into that version of the football version of the question. Did you know that Paul McCartney played in a band before Wings? I thought this is where it would go. At best, I thought you were going to know him. Oh, he was the guy with the turducken. He handed out turkey legs on Thanksgiving. Or he was the guy with his most famous broadcast partner was Grody's guy, Pat Summerall.
That's right.
Yeah. Who we used to have, Grody would bring up and be a
Ryan
weekly thing.
Ryan Mundy.
Great Pat Summerall names.
Yes.
And reading the Sunday night lineup on CBS.
Coming up next after the game, Murder, She Wrote.
So good. So that was Madden. Boom, bang. So anyways, he was, in fact, the coach of the Raiders. And he won one Super Bowl as coach of the Raiders in 76. They beat the Vikings because everybody beat the Vikings. He was also the coach of those cheating refs who ripped us off when they gave a touchdown to Franco Harris on the immaculate reception. And he does have the second best winning percentage among NFL coaches, and he's in the Hall of Fame, never played in the NFL. And I went down this rabbit hole because of my Joey Ice, my frozen guy at Trader Joe's, was mentioning that there is a documentary coming out on John Madden. And it will be on ESPN, I think, or Fox. It'll be on Fox on Christmas Day.
Yes.
And they were showing some on Thursday night. Bill Belichick, almost sounding like you doing your Farley fanboy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, talking about just whatever John Madden did, what he said, and how what he was. And this is something I didn't know. I mean, there have been, like, I want to say, 250 million versions of a game sold.
Mm.
And he signed a $150 million deal in 2005. $150 million deal in 2005.
That's
allows
amazing.
EA to use his name and likeness in perpetuity.
Wow.
And he earns millions annually in royalties from the game. But as Trash Panda was talking about, John Madden Football appeared in 88. EA changed the name to Madden NFL in 93 after acquiring the rights to use NFL players and names and teams and stuff like that. He wasn't originally going to be the guy.
Hmm.
I did not know this. Did you not? Did you ever hear this story?
I have not. Do tell.
Electronic Arts founder Trip Hawkins came up with a video game, and his first choice was Joe Montana.
Oh.
But Montana already had an endorsement deal with Atari.
Oh, my guy. That's
so
where I left off.
So he turned to John Madden.
Oh.
Can you? That's the guy who, yeah, I'm going to invest in Beta. And then there goes VHS.
Who would have known?
Right. It could have been Montana 2021.
Oh,
but it's Madden.
God. Yeah, and that's why John Madden, like, the unique thing about John Madden is that he never went back to coaching. Like, every broadcaster that has the opportunity to seems to go back to coaching if they were a coach before. Never did it. And he was a successful coach, as you pointed out.
Yeah, he was. He was a successful coach, and he realized that he never lost a game on Sunday afternoon football or Monday night football or Thanksgiving.
Never.
He never lost the game. I love that idea. We talk often on actors who turned down roles,
yes,
or got turned down for them, and the guy who invented this version of football wanted Joe Montana, but Montana's got to deal with Atari, and the best you can say about Atari is maybe it's worth something on the ancient market. I just can't.
Mm.
What a thing.
Yeah. Did you ever play video games, Steve?
No. Pong. Maybe Pong. Because when it was Pac-Man was all the thing, Miss Pac-Man, all the rage. I was looking for pinball games. I was a pinball guy. I still am. And it figures I'm just a cranky old man.
Right,
so I would play pinball, and
that's
I
perfect.
Still do.
Yeah, my thing was, like, I played Atari, and I would go to the old school arcades, and I loved it. I was just as into it as anybody, but I realized that if I keep doing this, if I allow myself to go to the next level, which was like Nintendo and then Madden, I'd have been screwed. Like, I just would have been, I would have been indoors my entire childhood and college life and even now. So I feel like for my life, for me, Mark Grody, I have made the right decision to stay away from video games, except for occasionally going,
no,
you know?
You could have done all of them. I did all of them. I did. I played a lot of Madden and NCAA football in high school, and I also played football, and I also had a decent social life.
Yeah,
I did it all. Got good grades too.
Okay, all right.
The key was I didn't really play a ton of like video games on the weekends, like Saturday, Friday nights. I didn't really play.
It's good discipline on your part. I don't know that I would have had the same sort of discipline as an Adam Sidzinski. So. That
made up for the fact that my after school routine was usually get home from football practice, eat dinner, do homework, play video games the rest of the night.
Okay. All right. Well, as long as you had like the other real things before that and you set aside the time, I mean, that would be difficult. But I'm happy with my decision because I stayed outdoors as long as I could. That's the way things were when I was growing up.
I was that too. We didn't have whatever it was, is way back in the old days when you barely had, when you had to sit and watch the radio. I was out of the house by 8 in the morning and on a weekend and back home at 6 or 7, and that was it. And, you know, my parents didn't know if I was juggling knives or what, but I showed up and I wanted McDonald's. That was it.
Hey, he's back again. He came back. He's back. I guess we got to get him something to eat.
Yeah.
Our son is really mean.
Yeah, I was. I was a beach ball with arms. That was what I grew up doing. And my mom would say, you know, you need to lose weight. You got to stop eating. And then she'd bring Oreos into the house.
Right. How am I supposed to work with this, Mom?
Yeah. Well, that's the way it went. We talked about Oreos last week when you weren't here. Me and Espo were here. Talk with Rick Camp. Because Oreos played a part in a rock, paper, scissors contest. A fan showed up at the Boston Bruins game with a sign wanting to play rock, paper, scissors with Louis DeBrusque. And if the fan won, the fan would get Louis's stick. Louis won, and Louis got, they threw Oreos over the glass that he caught onto the ice.
Oh, nice.
Well, apparently rock, paper, scissors is catching on because last night at Golden State, after the buzzer, a fan had a sign for Steph Curry. And the fan said, "If I rock, paper, scissors, if I win, I get your shoes. If you win, you get my shoes." So Steph Curry walks over, and they play rock, paper, scissors, and Steph Curry wins. And
that's awesome.
He autographed the kid's sign.
That's so
cool. I love that.
That's cool that he did that.
Rock, paper, scissors catching on. We're going to have a weekly report on this. It could be maybe it'll be a medal event. Wouldn't that be great in the Olympics? Rock, paper, scissors?
Oh, absolutely. People would. I like the fact that rock, I mean, it's pretty cool that has stayed through the years, rock, paper, scissors. Very simple and wonderful.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. When we come back, there's an anniversary of a movie that I want to discuss with you.
Okay.
And I think we'll engage people with this. And even if we don't, we're only 20 minutes from being done with the show. I think that's a good thing, too.
That we're going to make, if we can't get there, we'll just put Grobber back on the phone.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He'll be there. He'll tell us that Northwestern still can't score.
And that he doesn't know what turducken is. That was an upset.
Were you surprised by that?
That was an upset. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Turducken's good.
I've never had it. It sounds great.
If you can get the turkey and the duck smoked and the chicken smoked,
sure.
It's smoked turducken, that's the way to go. But turducken's quite a thing. I recommend that. All right, we'll take a break. Saturday Suckage and talking about turducken. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's stupid and I hate it.
There you go. That's us. And that's us sitting in for Leila Rahimi and Dan Bernstein on Black Friday. I guess anytime we sit in for a big boy show, it's Black Friday. So there we go. Welcome and welcome back. Saturday Suckage, Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde. Mark.
Yeah.
45 years ago tomorrow, in advance of Thanksgiving, into the theaters came a movie with this theme song. Much more iconic than that, do you, Mark?
That was me running to work today, brah.
Ah, there's that's excellent. And then he's showing the camera angle right down to the end.
Yeah.
Do you know the man who wrote that? You know his name by any chance?
His name was Bill Buckner, not the baseball player, but another Bill Buckner.
Bill Conti. So you were close.
Oh wow.
You had the Bill part.
Okay.
He has never run whilst listening to the Rocky theme.
Really?
He told the BBC 5 years ago on the 40th anniversary of Rocky's release, he has never... Barbara Streisand, however, he was saying, has run to his song. He was conducting the Academy Awards Orchestra. She was singing her song Evergreen. She was standing on the podium rehearsing, and she turns to him and says, "You know, every morning I run to your song, and it really gets me up." I said to my wife, "Isn't it interesting that Barbara Streisand really gets off on my song? I hope she loses." But she won. The story about that, it was a low-budget thing, and nobody thought it was going to go anywhere, and it wins the Oscar. It beats out Taxi Driver. It beats out Network, All President's Men. It wins Best Picture. Bill Conti was the third choice to score the film. Two people had turned it down because they had to put up their own money. There was a
wow.
Because he got $25,000 for the thing, but he had to pay for everything, which included the music, the musicians, even paper to put the notes on. That's what he had to pay for out of that. So it got turned down.
That's amazing.
The vocals to the theme were sung by people his wife brought over from a local radio station in L.A.
I didn't even know there were vocals to it.
Sure. Gonna fly. I'm getting strong now. Gonna fly now.
Oh, that. Yeah, yeah. Getting strong.
Yeah, they're
right
in there. They're in there. Yeah. Just don't pay attention to them usually.
Not during the not during that. There's not like Rocky's gonna win the fight for the fight. That's not none of that. Okay.
No, there are 30 words in that film, 8 of which are now, and 4 of which are fly.
Wow.
And the theme, originally the song, that massive song, that iconic song, was 90 seconds long, originally. And then John Avildsen, the director, said, Bill, I need a minute and a half's worth here. I need another, you know, I need another 30 seconds here. I need another 30 seconds here. And basically, you got the montage. Bill Conti had to keep adding music. He had to do more. And that's how that became what it became. And that's how it spoke to what it spoke to. It was supposed to be 90 seconds of music.
Do you have a favorite Rocky movie?
One.
That's one? Okay.
You never forget your first.
Yeah, no, one was great. I mean, all of them are great, except for maybe some of the later ones. But I have trouble deciding between the Clubber Lang fight and the Ivan Drago fight. So 3 and 4 is where I debate with myself on which was my favorite.
4 has by far the best training montage.
Oh, absolutely.
When the son is amazing, number one, and he's got the full beard, and he's just running through Russia, wherever the hell he's supposed to be.
he's carrying sleds.
Yeah, he's not even using weights. Right. Like, he's doing all this just natural training, and then they juxtapose that with Ivan Drago doing his drugs.
Right, the advanced, like he's hooked up to machines and... Yeah, just looking to break little Rocky.
I must break you.
Go for it.
If he dies, he dies.
If he dies, he dies.
So why is it? Why? What do you guys have against Rocky One, the original?
I have nothing against it. It was great. I just thought that the opponents were more interesting in 3 and 4. Now, was it in which one was Hulk Hogan in? Was that was 4, right? Yeah, that was 4.
No, that was 3.
Oh, it was 3?
Yeah, because it's when it's like for charity, and they're part of showing the whole, like, Rocky's getting soft thing. He's not really taking fights seriously.
Yeah.
And all these opponents are actually just way below him.
I love that Creed turned into a good guy, though, Apollo Creed. Like, I always found that very heartwarming and very heartbreaking that the man was killed by Ivan Drago. And maybe that's why I like 4 the best. Maybe I'm answering my own question for myself. Right? It had to be 4 because there was the heartbreak and then the revenge factor that Rocky got on that horrible, horrible man, Ivan Drago.
Have you guys seen any of the Creed movies?
I've seen the first one. They're really good.
They're both... I think they're making a third one, right? But
they're both the
first two are both really good. Like, the second one's still pretty good.
Yeah.
Because they bring...
I've gotten confused. Is one of the Creed movies the one where Rocky owned the restaurant and started training young Creed?
Yeah.
That's the first
that
one.
It?
Yeah, he trained him, yeah. I don't know about the restaurant. I don't remember that.
Well, or no, wait. Restaurant. Rocky Balboa, he's got the restaurant. I think in the first Creed, he still got it or something.
Come on, Balboa! Okay. That's my Clubber Lang. Come on, Balboa! Uh-huh. What's your little lady got to say about it?
Rocky, don't do it.
Don't do it.
I don't like Adrian.
I must break you.
I must break you.
Yo, Adrian.
Go for it.
The final scene of Rocky, by the way, had to be reshot. And the reason why it's in a tight shot is they had no money and they no audience. They decided to end it in the ring after they ended all the shooting. So he took one camera and then went back to the Olympic Auditorium and shot the "I love you, Rocky. I love you, Adrian." That was it.
Adrian.
They had no money.
You
and the movie just exploded. Look what it led to.
Oh, my God.
It led to sequels.
It led to 8 more.
Franchises upon franchises.
Sequels and spinoffs. And
yeah. Yeah, and then who was the real Rocky? I saw a documentary on him, and, like, Sylvester Stallone would never acknowledge that the movie was based on him. Do you guys know who I'm talking about? There was
it Chuck Wepner?
Yeah,
the leader?
Yes, Chuck Wepner. Yes, and
right.
And I think Sly, like, recently or in the last 10 years, may have, like, admitted that some of it was based. He just didn't want to share the money with old Wepner. I think is why he didn't want to say it was based on his life.
Yeah, and he was called the Bayonne Bleeder because he would bleed, but he was almost impossible to knock down. Remember, the part of Rocky that was important was, you know, I can't beat a Mick. No one's ever gone the distance with him.
He'll rock you tomorrow, Rocky.
Yeah. And by the way, the week that was also Burgess Meredith's birthday, 1907. He was born the week that Rocky was released.
Wow.
And he was great. I mean, as Mick, that was just... That was terrific.
Yep. Paulie. And, of course, Paulie. Paulie was kind of a loser. Old Paulie. Rocky took care of old Paulie, didn't he?
Yeah, I gave you my sister. It's disgusting.
And he gave him a robot. Remember?
But
he was...
See, but it Rocky really was. Yeah, Rocky IV is a robot.
More evidence as to why Rocky IV was the best. He gave, there was a robot. That was the future, Rocky IV. There's a robot doing things in
There's
the house.
A robot. Yeah, that was that. That's why Rocky I was great. Introducing the characters, I love them. They were all coming to life. That's why I think that's the best. And the Ivan Drago, I must break you. That was
yeah.
That it, when I was talking earlier in the week with Trash Panda, he was Rocky saved the world. He killed communism.
That's true. Yeah, that was very important, and that was like heart of. Yeah, Russia. If you're an American, the only thing you need to know is that Russians are evil. And it was okay to make that movie and say Ivan Drago was bad, and that's what all Russian people are like.
Yes. And that, they're the only people that we can make fun of them without
yes.
guilt-free, without repercussions,
yep.
without the cancel culture coming upon us.
Yep, yep. You can hate Russians and root for America.
Murka, yeah, and Rocky was like that. I will say they weren't awful, they weren't terrible, and they're sequels, but
yeah.
that's still the original.
Weren't one and two pretty similar?
It seemed that way.
The exact same movie, only with a slightly different ending.
Right. So in one, they both. Or Apollo wins, right?
He wins one. But the whole thing is Rocky doesn't get knocked out and goes the distance. And,
yeah.
And because
right.
of that, it's this no-name
no
fighter.
Rematch.
So, yeah, Apollo's humiliated because
yes.
this no-name guy
yes.
took him the distance.
And then two, it's the slow motion, right, where they both go down at the same time and the blood splattering, and then Rocky gets up at the last second and Apollo just slumps to the canvas. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the only difference in the two movies.
That's it.
See, right, and that's when you hit stupid. Time, but it must have made a bunch of money, and then you saw. I mean, three and four were better than two. I don't know. Two should just be banished from everyone's mind. But I guess they had to make him a champion so we can have three and four.
Right. Well, they really stepped up the villain quotient in three and four. Like Clubber
yeah.
Lang was mean and nasty, and obviously as we've been talking about with Drago, same thing. Like Apollo was just cocky. You know what I mean? Like he was like Muhammad Ali, essentially, I thought. Like that was, I think they took some of the aspects
oh,
of
yeah.
that personality, and then they just
sure.
went straight up evil in three and four.
It was Sugar Ray,
yeah.
Sugar Ray Leonard,
there you go.
And Ali.
Yes.
So it closed generations like that.
Right.
So now if they made that, he would be fighting a Karen, wouldn't he? Isn't that
yeah.
what would that be the latest villain? The cultural zeitgeist would be a something like that.
Yeah, what would be the super villain of Rocky Balboa in the year 2020?
Oh, I don't want to go there.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you know, I'm glad the show's over. Who do
yeah.
we hate?
Yeah. That's right. We want to thank Les Grobstein for joining us on the air.
It would be a YouTube fighter. That's who it would be.
And we'll get together again. Mark will be on after the Bears game Thursday.
Yes.
He will be your Bears post-game host. Mark and I will be together on Black Friday at 9 a.m. sitting in for Bernstein and Rahimi, and where we'll discuss what we saw on Thanksgiving and the pressing question of what would your Spice Girl nickname be. I think we have to do that.
Okay.
Somewhere. Yeah. Thanks, Trash Panda. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And again, if nobody important listened, we'll be back to do more radio shows later on. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Later.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So, kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
it.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.